In my devotions, literally just yesterday morning, I read this, my little Jeff Lucas devotional notes. I've noticed that many Christians accept God's forgiveness intellectually, but don't live in the good of it practically. Just let that sit with you for a moment, because it struck me. And it struck me with what we've been thinking and reflecting on for weeks within church here through Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. The first two verses, 8 and 9, talk about God's grace, accepting that grace of God through faith, realizing that it's not from yourselves, that not from ourselves, but it is a gift that is given by God. And often we can receive that blessing, but then how does it work out practically? Just again, our last recap. Grace, we thought about Les Mis, about a guilty man being shown just unbelievable grace. God's riches at Christ's expense is a little acrostic that is often used to reflect on receiving God's grace. Faith, forsaking all others, I trust him. Harry Colcord, the manager of Charles Blondin, the famous tightrope walker, climbed on his back and was carried across Niagara Falls. That's faith that works out in action. It's not an intellectual thing. Oh, I believe you could do that. He put his faith in Charles Blondin as he walked across Niagara Falls. Well, as Charles Blondin walked across Niagara Falls and Harry Colcord clung to him. It's not from ourselves. It's not by works so that nobody can boast. Certainly I was taught you'll be a good boy and then Santa will come to you. You'll get what you deserve. But grace is that you get what you don't deserve. And it's not about your work. It's not about what you can do or you have done or even earn a little bit of God's good grace. It's all of him. It's all of him. Because actually, it's the gift of God. You remember last week, the carriage clock and the gold watch? Or Santa Claus, you get what you deserve. But Warren Wiersbe says, salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift, not a reward. You remember last week, Arnold Palmer, O King, out in Saudi Arabia. Well, yes, if you want to give me a gift, give me a golf club. And he was given the deeds for a 36-hole golf club with all the packaging with it, the clubhouse and lakes and trees and all the whole 9 yards. Or 265 yards, as the case may be. But it's the gift of God. When in the presence of the King, don't ask for small gifts. God's gift of grace given to us. And then there's this change in the passage. Because it goes from it's not about you and it's not about works to then saying, but we are God's workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Thinking, hello? So how do we understand? How do we understand good works? It is by grace, and it's not by works. How do we understand this? Almost a clash, it seems to contradict itself. If all our righteous acts are like filthy rags, then it's not about our good works. It's about the gift of God. It is by grace. Again, Presbyterian quoting John Calvin, it is faith alone that saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. It is faith alone that saves, but then the faith that saves will never be alone because it must manifest itself. It must show itself. It must work itself out in action, must it not? It is faith alone that saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. You're now part of the crew. You're not on a cruise. How does this show itself? You see, debt, feeling that, well, I have to repay this debt, so I have to do this. I have to work. I have to, because, and sometimes we think, well, I'm saved by grace, but it'll be kept by works, and I owe the debt, so I have to do, I have to do, I have to do. Maybe we feel it's duty. Oh, well, after all that God's done for me, I need to do this, but we'll do it grudgingly. But it should be desire that I want to do. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do these good works as I respond to God's grace in me. The debt is that you think, well, I have to pay a price. You get something. You don't get something for nothing. Sure, you don't. Duty, well, it just seems like a punishment. You know, what's the old adage, the old joke about coming to church and suffering from pneumonia? Because you just sit in the pew and give off because you're there out of duty. You're not out there out of heart. It just seems like a punishment. But if you want to, and that's what Paul is saying here, as we respond to God's amazing grace, the good works that will follow will be out of desire and out of pleasure and joy and delight for serving him. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Let's just stop there. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You this morning are God's workmanship, made by him, formed by him. If anything, that, folks, should make your heart sing. And it's an ongoing work, for we are God's workmanship. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. As he continues to work in us, it's an ongoing work. Warren Wiersbe has this great little quote. God spent 40 years working on Moses before he could work through him. God spent 40 years working in Moses before he could work through him. All those 40 years of wilderness, and then the 40 years in the wilderness before he took the people into the wilderness, going back to Egypt. And then, what is God doing in your life? As God's workmanship, and is it ongoing in your life? One of the verses that sits with me constantly is Philippians 1 verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As we come to know Jesus as Savior, receiving his grace, seeking to live in that, it is an ongoing work. But just stop for a wee moment too. You, me, are original. Thinking, thankful there's only one of you. But you are original. You're bespoke, made by the Master's hand. I love in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, this little verse, you show that you're a letter from Christ. That your life shows that you're a letter from Christ. A letter will, I mean, yes, there'll be pulp mail, but an individual letter written by Christ. And I'm understanding that the Greek word poema is where we get the word poem. Your life is a poem. That we are God's living letters, it says in Corinthians here, known and read by everybody. So as you live your original life with this ongoing work of God through you, as God's workmanship, people read your life and witness. What do they read in you? What do they read in me? But also just think of that beauty that you are God's original work, handcrafted by him. Genesis 1 and 26, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. That includes you. Just sit with that for a moment. Because how often you look in the mirror and you think, oh, certainly I do. You think, but we're not a mistake. We're made by God. We're his precious, treasured possession. We're precious to him. We're an original work bespoke by the Lord God. But that work, ongoing and original, is that we are God's workmanship. You're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. None of us are the same. Each person in church has a different gift and ability. Maybe a collection of gifts and abilities, but we're all different. And again, that we're on the cruise ship as we seek to serve him. You are God's workmanship. God saw all that he has made, and it was very good. And that work is to prepare God's people for works of service. So as we then take that workmanship and work it out as God's workmanship in God's workforce, for you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We've stopped there, but then it goes to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Folks, are you playing your part? Or on the cruise ship rather than the cruise ship? A work that has been prepared. Now, I don't fully understand that. Again, Warren Wiersbe says, Christ is equipping us for our walk and our work here on earth. Christ is equipping us for our walk and our work here on earth. What might that be for you? Another Bible commentator, Jeffrey B. Wilson, thinking about being prepared, says this: although salvation is not of works, we are made new for good works. Good works are the indispensable evidence of a new life. Oh. Good works are the indispensable evidence of a new life. So what is seen in us? What are the works God has prepared for us? And are we working them out? What is, if you like, the productivity that comes from this? Matthew 5 just simply says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 reminds us that we have all that you need. Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Colossians 1 verse 10 speaks of bearing fruit in every good work. Now, there will be things that are seen, and there will be things that are unseen. I have told you before, and I'm actually speaking to him recently at a funeral here in church, one of the young fellows that came through youth in First Coleraine. I've told you this before, but I can remember whenever this particular chap, we'll just call him Chris, headed off to university. And youth fellowship started the next year. And youth fellowship night ran in the house, the youth center at the church. And then the night finished, everybody headed into the coffee bar and we're all, well, flirting and the usual. But then everything kind of quietened up and you went back into the main meeting room and all the equipment, laptop, data projector, djembe, drum, keyboard, keyboard stand, amplifier, everything was all just still lying. And then you're, oh, Chris used to do that. And he never did it with fuss or with fanfare. It was just done. Every week. And actually what it meant was carting the stuff up a step of stairs into the back corridor and into the store and putting away. And the keyboard was a weighted keyboard. It wasn't a light thing. And yet this week, or every week, this chap just quietly worked away while everybody else was stuffing their faces or, as I say, flirting or whatever. Remember a chap in a church and going round homes and houses discovering that there was one gentleman in the church who, if somebody was sick, was actually running the messages for them. On occasions from home and family, bringing food, bringing meals. doing a bit of work for them in the farm because they were unable to do it. Nobody in the congregation knew you particularly. But this one name just kept popping again and again. And if I'd asked them, would you do a reading or lead a prayer in church, they would have run a million miles. But they were playing their part. Again, as Valerie read for us in that passage of the body of Christ, the gifts that are public and the gifts that are quieter and unseen. But preparing God's people for works of service, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Folks, are we, as God's workmanship, taking our place in God's workforce? Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work as we serve him. The three verses we've looked at all fall in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. Let me finish just as we step through these. Because it starts with saying, verses 1 to 3, sin works against us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were all by nature objects of wrath. Sin working in us, bringing us to a place of bondage and slavery. But the passage goes on about God works for us. And I'm just reading. These are just the words of Scripture, folks. So from verse 4, we read on. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us by Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This is not from ourselves. It's the gift of God, and it's not by works, so that nobody can boast. God works for us. His salvation work for us. But the first part of verse 10, again, is about sanctification, isn't it? For we are God's workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus. So he works in us to make us more like himself. And then God works through us, and that's our service, because he has prepared works of service for us to do. Not as passengers on a cruise ship, folks, but on a cruise ship, where all of those parts, all of those jobs, all of those acts of service, seen and unseen, make up the family of faith as we seek to serve him, as he refines us, as he transforms us more to be in the image of Christ.